everyone. Welcome to the Handmade with Heart podcast. I'm your host, Dana, and I own the small business Scrappy Stitch. Have you ever wanted to know more about some of your favorite small businesses? Follow along as I interview other creative small business owners. We'll talk about getting started, what an average day for a creator is like, tips and tricks, and of course, everything is Handmade with Heart. Thanks for tuning in to the first episode of the Handmade with Heart podcast. As I said, my name is Dana, and I own the small business Scrappy Stitch. In this episode, I'm going to talk about how I got started, how I got my logo, and learning to say no. So I started Scrappy Stitch in about 2012 or 2013. I was more into scrapbooking and card making at the time, and I was following a bunch of scrapbooking YouTubers when there was a new trend to start sewing on your scrapbooking pages. It looked so cool, I ended up getting a really cheap sewing machine. It was like $50. It was an absolute nightmare to use, but I was determined to learn. I started watching more and more sewing videos and teaching myself. And my sister gave me a lot of really good tips too. You can learn anything on YouTube, and there's some really good sewing channels out there. After a while of fighting with that nightmare machine, I decided to upgrade to a slightly more expensive sewing machine. It had a lot of really cool features that made sewing so much easier. By the way, a drop-in bobbin makes a world of difference. I started sewing more and more and making gifts for family and friends because I loved seeing how excited they were when they opened a handmade gift that was so personal. I'm also an x-ray tech, and at the time I was working at a really big hospital, and my job was really stressing me out. So sewing became a way to focus on something else. I opened an Etsy shop, and I remember thinking, you can really just do this, just like open an Etsy shop and say you have a small business and start selling things. It was a little surreal. Then I did my first craft show, and I spent the entire time trying to not have a panic attack and stressing out if my things were good enough, will anybody like what I made, but I got through it. It was really hard to do craft shows because I worked weekends and I was on call a lot. I ended up switching jobs and had a better schedule, but I ended up putting Scrappy Stitch to the side for a while and just sewed gifts for friends and family. Then a few years ago, I got really serious about it. I signed up for a bunch of craft shows and learned the hard way what to look for when applying, which I'll be talking about more in the next episode. I met a lot of awesome crafty people who have become very dear friends, and that's what inspired this podcast. I even had my things in a few local stores, and that was really exciting. I was super nervous about trying to get into shops, but it turns out you literally just ask. I reached out to these local shops and just showed them what I made and had some conversation back and forth about the terms. Both the stores were very different. The one store I ended up renting space from, and the other store, it works off of a commission. So as I sell items, they take a percentage. And they were both really good experiences. Unfortunately, one of the shops ended up closing, which is a total bummer, but it was a really good experience. And once I was in those shops, I started to feel like a more legit business. I also started the Scrappy Stitch YouTube channel to help others learn to sew, as well as document my journey. It was also a way to advance my sewing skills by trying to make things that I don't offer in my shop. And that's where the not-so-serious tutorials began, because I like to make myself laugh. And if others laugh too, that's just a bonus. Then the Australian wildfires happened, and I saw a lot of people wanted to help, but the sewing patterns for the items that were needed were pretty confusing. So I made a few videos to help out, and those videos were shared a lot, because there were no videos for these patterns at the time. I ended up talking to some sewists that live in Australia. One of those people is named Libby, and she started sharing my videos to some of her Australian sewing groups. I didn't even know she was doing this until one day she messaged me and she said, "Hey Dana, I started sharing some of your videos and people love them." And I was just like, "Oh wow." And I checked my stats and they were through the roof, and I could not believe it. So that was really cool that so many people all over the world were watching my tutorials and learning how to make things for koalas and kangaroos and bats that helped them out. I love that I was able to help so many people who wanted to help the animals. And I made a good friend, Libby. So hey, Libby, if you're listening, thanks for sharing those videos. Then right after that, the pandemic happened, and I spent a lot of time making masks. It felt like I was making masks nonstop. As I said, I'm an x-ray tech, and it was really crazy what was going on. In x-ray school, we were taught about medical emergencies and pandemics, but never in a million years did any of us think we'd be living and working through one. I got off fairly easy because I didn't work at a hospital anymore, so I wasn't in the thick of it, and I couldn't believe what was happening to all my friends not having access to proper PPE. I was pretty lucky that I worked in a surgery center and was as sheltered as I could be during the whole thing. It made me feel really good that I was able to make masks to help out during such a weird time in the world. It was really, really hard to get supplies during that time too. Like elastic, forget it. You could not find it anywhere. I was speaking to someone recently about how sewing is almost like a superpower, and I really do feel like that. Some of the things that I've made went on to help people and animals in some pretty awesome ways, and I'm really proud of that. I didn't do any craft shows in 2020 due to COVID, and I spent my time getting more into monarch conservation because they're really close to being put on the endangered species list. My garden has been registered as a monarch way station for years, which means part of my garden is dedicated to providing the habitat that they need to complete their life cycle. I always just let them do their own thing. I never really thought about it until we were in lockdown and I realized I never saw a caterpillar in my garden. So then I started looking into it and learned that only about 1 in 100 monarch caterpillars makes it to a full-blown adult butterfly. Those are not good odds. I learned everything I could about them. Once I knew what to look for, I started finding a crazy amount of them. So I brought them in when they were still really tiny so I could protect them the best I could. I raised them in as close to natural conditions as possible, just sheltered from spiders and other things that would eat them. I loved watching them grow, and I documented the whole thing online because we all know that a caterpillar turns into a butterfly, but how many of us have actually seen the process? So that brings me to my logo. Last year, I decided I needed a cool logo. I came up with mine at 3 in the morning, like all my best ideas. A lot of people recognize the giant butterfly logo now, but if you look really closely, you'll see the body is a sewing needle and the antennas are thread. I really like things that, if you look at them more closely, have a deeper meaning, so I wanted to incorporate that into my logo. I thought that was a really cool way of combining both of my interests, monarchs and sewing. I wanted to keep the monarch wing shape, but add lines inside to make it look like scrappy patchwork. I had this very distinct idea in mind, but I could not get it to look right myself. So I hired Jessica from Motley Designs, who I highly recommend. I completely love my logo, and it turned out way better than I could have ever done myself. And I feel like it's really helped customers recognize my brand. And of course, I'm always happy to answer questions about monarchs to anyone who asks. I started doing craft shows again in 2021, and I also learned how to say no in 2021. This is something that's very hard to do, but completely necessary for a small business owner. For example, I spent a lot of time looking for supplies, and if someone comes up and asks where I got a specific thing, it's okay to say no. I really like helping people, but I've had people come up to me and say, oh, where do you get this or that? Because I want to start making that too. If it took me a really long time to find something or figure something out, I'm not going to share that information. I've also said no to a few business opportunities that just didn't seem right for my brand, or maybe it would create a little bit more work than I was willing to do. Because in the end, you need to know what's best for your business and figure out what's the best use for your time. Besides sewing and being an x-ray tech, I also enjoy cycling, reading, spending time with my dog Jojo, and my cat Gizmo. I have a lot of great plans for 2022. I'm hoping to move off Etsy, I've had my shop on vacation mode for a while, and I'm honestly just tired of the fees. I personally think they're getting a little out of control. Etsy does have a lot of great features, but so do some more affordable options that are out there, and I'm hoping to revamp my website and add a shop to that. I've had some ideas for some new products I'd like to add, so that's really exciting. I'd also like to see if I can get into a few more local shops. I'm hoping to have at least one podcast episode a month, as well as at least one not-so-serious tutorial on the Scrappy Stitch YouTube channel. I have so many great ideas for the channel, I just need time to be able to do it all. And also, video editing takes absolutely forever, especially because I'm a perfectionist. There's also some new craft shows I have my eye on, so hopefully they'll be promising. I always love learning about new things, so I thought it'd be cool to end each episode of the podcast with an interesting fact about what each guest makes. So my fact is that sewing machines were first purchased by the general public in 1860, often by women, which cut down their sewing time from about 14.5 hours by hand to 1 hour. That is a crazy amount of time saved, and it gave people, especially women, more time to do other things. And I think that is pretty awesome. That's about it for today. Feel free to follow me on all of my social media at Scrappy Stitch and also the Handmade with Heart podcast so you never miss an episode. We'll see you next time.